Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Sadhana Bhakti. This is, yesterday we heard the glories of Krishna's Nirmalya, his our garlands that he wears, and how valuable and how much amazing power they have. It's told in the Skanda Purana, if you simply touch a flower garland offered to the Lord, and then your body becomes free from diseases and all sins. So we can appreciate the high value of anything connected with Krishna. And if we're so fortunate that we become connected with those objects as prasadam, then our life becomes truly fortunate and auspicious. This text 127. Yo nityati parishtatma bhaver bahusha bhaktita sanirdahati papani manvantara sateshvapi. Now he's going to glorify dancing before the deity, which you must have seen a bit of that. This is explained in the Dwarka Mahatmyam. Anyone who joyfully dances with many emotions, bahubhav, before the Lord, burns up sins which have been committed for the duration of many hundreds of manvantara periods. So, that means a lot of sins get burned up. So many, 14 manus in a day of Brahma. So there's hundreds of manvantaras, and I mean that's like lots of days of Brahma. So the idea is, the whole idea is that some people sometimes, when they hear such fantastic statements, they have some doubts about the validity or the authority of it. How is it possible, or what does this mean? Or often they say this is hyperbole, or this is exaggeration. They're simply trying to get people to dance. And that may be part of it. Because whatever it takes to motivate people to do something good to benefit themselves, then Krishna is doing that. He's taking any kind of form and appearing in every species of life. Krishna appears and to help and guide and bring the living entities to the spiritual world. So, in other words, dancing is a good idea. And we were watching these memoir films of Srila Prabhupada the other night, and somebody was saying that there was a Guru Puja in Chicago in 1974, and Prabhupada, at least in the West, I don't see it here, but in the West, Prabhupada always kept an aisle open. Wherever a lane or an aisle, wherever his Vyasa-san was, usually his Vyasa-san faced the deities, except in L.A. it was a little bit different, it was on the side. But usually there's three altars or one or whatever, then directly opposite in the back of the temple would be Prabhupada's Vyasa-san. So usually the standard around America and Europe in the early days, when Prabhupada was here, is that the men would be on one side and ladies on the other. And in the middle would be the demilitarized zone, line of control. And that would be open space, and Prabhupada would play his gong, and he would look and see his boys and girls dancing, and then he could see the deities. So in Chicago, during Guru Puja in 1974, Tripura was saying that the brahmacharis are very enthusiastic, and they used to engage in various kinds of dances, and other than what may be thought of as traditional, and what they were described, I'm not sure really what these dances are, because I've been out of touch for a long time, and this is back in the 70s, but he said the brahmacharis were doing the twist, they're doing the twist and the boogaloo, and the whatever. he named three or four different dances. And Prabhupada would, and then what happened is the aisle closed up also. And then right in the middle of Guru Puja, Prabhupada said, stop, stop. And microphone, you know, blasting kirtan and big speaker system, no doubt. And everyone, quote unquote, ecstatic kirtan. Prabhupada says, stop, stop, Roko, stop. And everyone froze. When Prabhupada wanted to stop something, he could stop a train if he wanted to. So then everyone, uh-oh, what did we do wrong? No music, no amplification, everyone looking at Prabhupada, trembling. The devotees were, Prabhupada said, what is this? And then Prabhupada pointed to a picture. There was a picture on the wall, and it showed Lord Chaitanya like this, and some painting on the wall, and Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda were like this. He said, dance like this. Dance like Lord Chaitanya in his Sankirtan party. So then everybody calmed down a little bit and stopped twisting and gyrating and boogalooing and discoing. Youthful enthusiasm. But the objective of pleasing Guru and Krishna was lost in the enthusiasm. Enjoyment overtook the pleasure potency of the Guru and Krishna. So this is a statement of Dwarka Mahatmyam that burn up a lot of sins by dancing happily before the deity. And then Narada Muni, he explains this with an analogy which really captures one's mind. I remember when I first heard this analogy, because we grew up in the country, so it made a lot of sense to us. But this next verse is, Nrityatam Shripater Agre Talika Varaner Brisham Udayante Shrirasta Sarve Pataka Pakshinaha. Narada Muni is telling, all the birds of sin situated in the body fly away for those who dance before the Lord with vigorous clapping of the hands. So this is how it's being described here by this particular translator. And I've seen other translations, and maybe even Prabhupada's Nectar Devotion, which I can't recall just now. But when one dances before the deities, the way I remember it, Nectar Devotion, that's what stuck in my mind. When one dances before the deities for their pleasure, then the sins fly off the tree of the body, just like when you clap your hands and birds fly off a tree. There's some birds in a tree or some pigeons or whatever on your roof, and you don't want them to go, ah! You go, and they go, psh, they fly off. I think that's, remember in Nectar Devotion? Something like this. You clap your hands and birds fly away. Here it's, because it's a new, different translator, that gives this idea. He's saying here that the verse means the birds of sin fly away for those who dance and clap their hands. So this verse is saying we have to do more than just dance. We have to clap our hands too. We don't have a boring Lord. Our Lord is the Lord of play. He likes to play, he likes to dance, he likes music. That's why generally so many musicians join ISKCON around the world, Russians, Italians, French, German, Americans, whatever. And then they dovetail their musical talents with the glorification of the Lord, and sometimes modern venue or mantra rock concert or something like this they call. We like to dance, but somehow when it comes to dancing before the deity, we sometimes get a little lazy. We let the modes get the best of us. The principle of bhakti is to always remember Krishna and never forget him. So everyone in the audience will say, well, I've heard that a million times, or 10 billion times. The main principle of Nectar Devotion is always remember Krishna and never forget him. But it's not like something that goes in one ear and out the other, but it's a living principle. It's a breathing principle. It's a feeling principle. It's a thinking principle. It's an action principle. It should be an active part of our lives at every moment. So we should always be thinking, am I, because it means thinking of Krishna means thinking of how to please Krishna. It's side by side. It's Krishna's a pleasure potency. He's the pleasure lord. And we are meant to please him. We are prakriti. So if we're not in a position where we're giving pleasure to the Lord, then we're not properly situated. And we're not remembering Krishna. For example, we come to Mangalartik, and we're there, and Thakurji's there, kirtan's going on. We're just kind of fixed there, like cemented on the floor. Because we're not too, like, energetic. And then we're forgetting that, well, why am I here to begin with? Why am I a Mangalartik? Am I a Mangalartik for me or for him? It's a very interesting question. What am I eating for him or for me? Am I chanting for him or she or he or me? And the actual answer is everything we're doing is for him, for Krishna. That was when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas from Kesha Bharati and Katwa. Generally, the Advaitin sannyasis, they tell the disciples to meditate on the mantra, Soham. Soham, I am that. But Lord Chaitanya said he had a dream the night before, and he heard a mantra, and in his dream that Kesha Bharati was speaking in his ear. So then he inquired from Kesha Bharati before the sannyas initiation about this dream and about this mantra. He wanted to confirm whether this dream was simply a dream or it had any substance or meaning or significance. So then he said, listen to the mantra, and he whispered the mantra in his ear. And the mantra, I can't remember just now, but it means, I belong to him. I am his. Rather than I am that, or I am it, I am Narayan, I am Brahman, I am his. And then, or that was the meaning of the mantra that Lord Chaitanya gave. So with that conception and with that speaking into the ear of his guru, in effect, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became the guru of Kesha Bharati. And he initiated him into this personal conception, into this conception of Sakhi Bhav or Manjari Bhav. So then the guru, Kesha Bharati, said, yes, this is correct. So this is the idea of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, is that I belong to him. Lord Chaitanya was teaching that, because everywhere Lord Chaitanya was chanting what? Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Krishna is he, is him, Bhagavan. Where is he? Where is my Krishna? Have you seen my Krishna? Can you show me Krishna? Wherever he went, in Puri or anywhere, he meets somebody. Where is Krishna? Can you show me? I'm looking for this boy, this Krishna. And he went to the choke when he was in madness of separation, looking for him, because he wanted to dedicate himself or herself to him in his service. He found the guard at Jagannath Puri Mandir at Singhadwara. And he said, where is Krishna? Please tell me, where is my Krishna? You can show him to me? And being a rather intelligent guard, he took Lord Chaitanya. Yes, yes, come, I'll show him. I'll show you your Krishna. Come. And he whisked him into the temple, to the door, and took him right into the temple. And said, there he is. There's your Brajendranandan. There's your Shamsundar. There he is. Oh, yes, that is he. That is my beloved. That's who I belong to. So this is when we come to Mangalartik, then we think, okay, now I'm here. Why am I here? I'm here for him. Because generally we trace everything from our side. Everything I'm doing is for me. I'm eating for me. I'm sleeping for me. I'm moving for me. I'm endeavoring for me. This is the general calculation or outlook. But devotees, all their movements and thinking and actions is for him, for Krishna, isn't it? Krishna Das, 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 and Das. So then we, from our side, we may feel like, I'm tired. I don't even feel like being a Mangalartik. I'd rather be sleeping. But my wife forced me, my husband forced me, or the order of, or the Niyam of Kartik, or whatever forced me. But I'm actually here to sing for Krishna's pleasure, or to dance for Krishna's pleasure. I'm wound up in a certain way. You wind a clock, at least in the old days, everything's battery now. used to be by spring. You wind the spring, and then the spring gives energy to the clock to move according to its arrangement or design. So we are that clock. We are wound up by the guru. We are meant to tick for Krishna's pleasure, to move for Krishna's pleasure. And so this Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami is mentioning all these basic limbs of devotion, which are there, whether in any level of sadhana bhakti, and they take on different color depending on whether one is in Vaidhi sadhana or Raganuga sadhana. But in Vaidhi sadhana and also in Raganuga sadhana, we will dance before the deity, we will offer obeisances, we will accept the Lord's Mahaprasadam, everything. It's not that, as some people misconstrue, that if someone is genuinely has lobe to follow a particular resident of Vrindavan and is following and emulating their moods and seva and praying for their mercy and meditating on them, that then he can neglect all of these different limbs of nectar devotion. But it's not true. The next one is about Dandavan Nati Yata Naradiye. This is 1-129. Ekopi Krishnaya Krita Pranamo Dashamed Ada Vabriter Natulya Dashava Medi Punar Eti Janma Krishna Pranami Na Punar Bhavaya. Offering obeisances. The purificatory rites performed during 10 horse sacrifices cannot equal even one pranam offered to Krishna. A person who performs 10 horse sacrifices takes birth again. The person offering pranams to Krishna does not take birth again. So one can only imagine how much money and how much elaborate arrangement it takes to offer one horse in yajna. It's called Ashwamedha. Ashwa means horse. And Medha means the fat or flesh. Medha. To offer the body of the horse into the fire requires lots of ghee, first of all. A horse is a big animal. And a lot of wood. And all kinds of elaborate mantras and preparations. Because the horse, like we were saying, like the car wash, goes in one side of the fire with a dirty car and comes out the other side with a clean one. He goes inside the fire with the old body and comes out with a new one, which people can see. So this 10 of those is is like 10 of these equals one of these. So one obeisance is, it doesn't take birth again. But all this karmakanda, although it's very elaborate and very powerful karmakanda, simply performing Ashwamedha gives you lordship over a planet, and performing many of them you may be lordship over many lord of many planets. But still, you're subject to birth and death. If we offer once heartfelt obeisances, because what does it mean? It says, Dandavan Nati. And Dandavan, it means, they say, Shashtanga Dandavats, eight limbs of the body. So the eight limbs of the body, that's the whole thing. The Linga Sharira and the Shukshma Sharira. That represents the eight limbs of the body. Earth, Bhumirapo, Nalo, Vayu, Kamano, Buddhir, Evacha. The earth element of the body, the water element, the air, the fire, the ether, the mind, the intelligence, the ego, everything, gross or subtle body, these are the eight parts of the body. So these are all meant to be submitted. When one offers, we say he's offering Shashtang Dandavats. He's offering Dandavats. It means whatever he has is laid at the feet of the Lord. Not just the flesh, the bones, the earth. The mind is one place. That's why it says that when we pay obeisances, our mind should be thinking that my mind is at the feet of my guru. My mind, my will, thinking, feeling, willing. My mind has these departments. So my mind is thinking about the instruction and will and desire of the Lord. The will of the Lord and the will of the guru is my will and my desire. And his thoughts, his thinking about, he has certain thinking, and he's thinking about the conditioned souls, or he's thinking about the progress of me or other devotees, well, that should be my thought and his feelings. So this is, obeisance, this is quite a, it's not a simple thing. You just lie on the floor. Anyone can lie on the floor. That's why it says that when one, very simple points, but actually they're very profound. It's like you might see a siddha mahatma offering dandavats in front of some deities. Or I mean, we saw, practically speaking, we saw with our own eyes in Los Angeles when Prabhupada in 75 or 76, he was there for a few days, and he would pay obeisances. But where Prabhupada, they were greeting the deities, and he laid down, offered dandavats. And he was there for a long time. And everyone usually pretty minutely watches Prabhupada, what he's doing, because somehow or other there's a natural attraction. Disciples like to see their guru if they really have heartfelt acceptance for their guru. So everyone sees the deities, Prabhupada's offering obeisances, everyone offers. We're standing right behind where Prabhupada was, near where he was. And then we stood up, and then everyone's standing up, and Prabhupada's still lying down. So we didn't know, should we go back down? But we thought, well, Anusaran, Anukaran, is he all right? Because he's old, his body, apparently he's old. 76, he was 80 years old. And is he all right? And so we looked to the seniors, the sannyasis, and what were they doing? We didn't want to act, just run forward. Prabhupada, are you all right? Disturb his samadhi or his ecstasy. Well, when Prabhupada got up, then because everyone was so much fixed and riveted their eyes on Srila Prabhupada's form, when he got up, right where his face was, there's all this like water, you know. And we saw Prabhupada's face, and it was quite like he was crying and all still wet. And he was, as his characteristic Anjali of his hands, he was going like this and whispering something. That's a very touching scene. So that's the dandavats on one level. And then when we offer dandavats, we have so much bhav and so much feelings. For us, it's a burden. Why do we have to do this? For the advanced devotees, it's an expression of their true love and submission. This is all I have. All I have is my head, and I lay it at your feet. I don't have a vast kingdom like Bali Maharaj. He could forestall offering his head by offering you a planet and a universe, and then his head, because he had a lot of alternatives to offer to you beside his head. But I'm not Bali Maharaj. I have zero. I have nothing. So all I have is my head. So I put it at your feet. So this is the glories of offering obeisances. This is number 130. Abhyutanam yata brahmande yanarudam purapreksya samayantam janardanam abhyutanam narakuravan patiyet sarvakilbisham. Rising when the deity approaches. This is from Brahmanda Puran. The person who stands up upon seeing the approach of the Lord, when the Lord is coming on a palanquin or a chariot or whatever, destroys all his sins simply by this process. So you can imagine how every single activity that we're engaged in under the guidance of Shastra and Guru is purifying activities, is purifying our consciousness and bringing us closer to God and increasing our attachment to God, because it's attracting, our behavior is attracting the attention of the Lord. Our actions are attracting the heart of the Lord. So he's taking notice that there's someone here out of the billions and billions of jivas, literally untold billions of jivas and billions of human beings even, there's someone amongst them that is turning his face toward me and showing some interest in me and acting congenially or favorably for my happiness. So I can't but take notice of him. I can't but glance at him or bestow some favor upon him. It is natural. We are persons and we have that nature. That if someone approaches us in a very humble way or in a very serving mood, then our attention will go to that person. So these are some points. Anavrajya yatabhavishyotare. This is talking about following after the Lord's procession. So the Lord, the Rath Yatra card is coming. As someone was saying in this film that when Prabhupada arrived at the Rath Yatra in San Francisco, the carts, of course, were parked on the street by Golden Gate Park. There were three chariots. And Prabhupada came up in his car at the beginning of the Rath parade. And he got out of his car, and without thinking of it, as soon as he stepped out of the car, didn't have his shoes, but he saw Lord Jagannath, immediately paid obeisances right on the street. And there are all kinds of non-devotees there, or let's say regular people there with regular clothing. This is the proper behavior. So this is told here that Ratena sagachanti parshvata prishtogrita. It says, following after the Lord's procession, his rath cart. If you've ever been to Puri, you see the Lord coming, you pay obeisances or dandavats when you see him. So all the outcasts, this is a translation from Bhavishyotara Puran, all the outcasts who go along with the chariot of the Lord, beside it, behind it, or in front of it, become similar to Vishnu. In other words, they get sarupya. So palanquins or chariots. So that often is the circumstance when you're in Jagannath Puri. You try to get in front, and maybe you get a chance to pull the cart, and then everybody goes by, or you can't get in front. And you say, oh, I can't pull the cart. There's too many people. It's too crowded. I can't make my way through. It's impossible. Oh, anyway, I'll go walk along the side of the cart. I'll walk behind it, or maybe I can, like this. So even that is so much benefit. You got Sarupya Mukti just walking behind or alongside of the chariot of the Lord. So tomorrow we'll hear some more of these great glories of it's all kalyan, it's all bhagya, auspicious and fortunate. Rupa Goswami's collected all these encouragements for us.